It's time once again to tune in to Rightly Dividing the Word of Truth, and we're glad that you are tuning in today, and the fact that you're studying the Word of God with us, Rightly Divided. And today we're going to look at some things that's in much what we've been studying for the last 25 weeks, but it's going to also help us understand some things about the circumcision gospel and the uncircumcision gospel, the contrast in the Bible. Now, if you do have your Bible, go ahead and be turning to Genesis chapter 17. But before you do, there's some things that we helped understand the Word of God rightly divided. We use 2 Timothy 2:15, rightly dividing the Word of Truth, correct? And in doing so, I want you to take the book of Acts, okay? If you got your Bible, take the book of Acts in one hand. Get the book of Acts in one hand. And take Romans through Philemon in your right hand. The book of Acts, Romans through Philemon. And I want you to fold them inward to each other. And many of you, I gave you a sheet on how that's done, but I want you to just turn it in inward just for a second. And we use a timeline at Canton Grace Fellowship that shows the timeline of what God is doing in the dispensational realm. Okay? But if you have your Bibles and you fold them just like that, like what Maggie's doing, she's doing a wonderful job. If you look up here, what does that look like? Heart. Out of the heart of God's Word, okay, comes a redemption plan for all mankind. And it's only in that part of the heart that you'll find that the message for the body of which Christ is the head, Colossians 1:13. This is a message for the present dispensation and will terminate with the catching away, the rapture of the body in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, as we drop down, you can let your heart go. But right there is the only place in your Bible. If you just think what you said, you go witnessing to people, you could share that right there. Here's a redemption plan, and God, right in the middle of God's holy word, His heart, is what He's doing today. That's powerful. Think about it. Don't everybody want the heart of God, or searching for the heart of God, and want God's heart and all that? But I ask you to go to Genesis chapter 17. Now, the left side of that heart is known in your Bible as what? Times past, okay? Our beginnings and whys and wherefores of the present state, forming of the nations, Israel in particular, prophecy and partial fulfillment. That's what we call times what? Times past, okay? That's Genesis through Malachi, right? That is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now, I know many of you think, wait a minute, now that's New Testament. But is it?
No, it's Old Testament because he hasn't died yet.
He hasn't died yet. Hebrews very, very clear that until there's a death of the testator, there is no testament. So it can't be the New Testament when they're still in the Old Testament of bulls and goats. So that's a continuation. And I think if you know what we studied over the last 25 weeks or so, you know, you would hopefully understand that. God dealing with Israel from Abraham to the cross, that is Old Testament. Old Covenant. God made a covenant with who? A group of people that He chose, right? And namely, the nation Israel. But if you look down through that block on your left there, it says circumcision initiated. And then below that, you have a rainbow, that big old arch down there. What does that say? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. Now, Genesis through Malachi, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, those books are dealing with a kingdom on earth. Then if you look far to your right, and we'll get to that eventually, is a future event. And where is that circumcision gospel? It's being fulfilled. Wonder where that focus is at. Now, that's where you find that, but where's the focus? That's where we call it, but where's the focus? On earth. Thank you. Kingdom, yes. Thank you, Tony. It's the fact that those books are generally, thank you, on earth. That's the focus. That's the focus of prophecy. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. Okay? And Genesis 1:2 all the way over to Acts chapter 9, it don't take a rocket scientist to figure out. He's talking about the earth. Nothing to do with the heavens. Heaven to come down to earth. But you don't pray to... Do you pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven?
No.
You pray to go to heaven. You don't pray that to come down. But look, Genesis chapter 17. You got the verses there, so for time-wise, we can just keep motoring. Genesis 17, verse 10 through 17. This is my covenant which ye shall... Who's ye? Keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised. And ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskins, and it shall be a token and a covenant betwixt me and you. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you. Every man child in your generations... He that was born in the house or bought with money of a stranger which is not of his of thy seed, he that is born in thy house and he must be bought with money must needs be circumcised. And my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised man child whose flesh of the foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. And he has broken my covenant. And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not be call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her and give thou a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be the mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old and from Sarah that is 90 years old to bear? So this is the circumcision being in what? Initiated. God told Abraham, this is what I'm going to do. And Abraham what? He laughed about it. You know, God tells us through His Word today a lot of things, and sometimes we just laugh about it. You know why? Because He's not present. You know, we walk by faith, not by sight. The Israelites walked by sight. They had to see it. Go to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. This has to do with the past of the beginnings and whys and wherefore of the nation Israel. Okay? Meanwhile, where are the uncircumcised?
Without God,
they're down here on the bottom, if you will. Exodus 12. Exodus 12. Exodus 12, verse 48. And when a stranger shall sojourn with thee and will keep the Passovers to the Lord, let all his males be circumcised, and then let him come near and keep it, and he shall be as one that is born in the land, for no uncircumcised person shall eat thereof. You see how important this circumcision is? You have to be a part of it, be a part of what? The land, be part of the promise, okay? That's what God chose Abraham to be. He gave him a promise. He gave him some land. Joshua chapter 5. Joshua chapter 5. What's before Joshua? What is it?
Judges.
Before Joshua?
Oh, no, right after.
Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is second giving of the law. He goes right back over to things that he gave to them the first time because, you know why? They've been wandering in the wilderness for how long? There's a whole generation dropped off. And anybody 20 and under didn't know what they went through in Egypt. So guess what Joshua had to do? Teach them again. Not only teach them again, but chapter 5, verse 2. At that time, the Lord said unto Joshua, make thee sharp knives and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. And if you read all the way down through there, that's exactly what he did, all the way to chapter 6, because of the fact that here's another group, young group of people that wandered in the wilderness, that came up, that didn't know what the circumcision covenant was. With me? It's very, very important to the nation Israel. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Now Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are what books again? Old Testament. But what are they mainly dealing with? Times past. But Israel...
Prophecy,
you're getting it all, but who's it mainly dealing with?
The kingdom of Israel.
The kingdom of Israel, talking about a king, talking about a man, talking about a servant, talking about God, okay? And it's an earthly account of the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? Just keep that in mind. These are the earthly records of what our Lord Jesus Christ was doing. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, verse 59. Luke chapter 1, verse 59. And it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacchaeus after the name of his father. Remember what you heard read back there in Genesis? On the what? Eighth day. See, it's circumcision in this. It's initiated. It's continuing. It was initiated back there in Genesis with Abraham. And it comes the Lord Jesus Christ and John the Baptist and all that. Guess what they're doing? Are they forgetting about it? The eighth day, they're taking care of circumcision. Luke chapter 2, verse 21. By the way, what we just read in 59 was John the Baptist. Okay? Chapter 2, verse 21. And when 8 days were come, accomplished, for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before him, before he was conceived in thy womb. So even the Lord Jesus Christ is what? Circumcised, okay? You notice that's when they gave him their name. You ever notice that? They gave him that in the eighth day. You know, you feel sorry sometimes you walk into, well, I don't know if you do, you walk into a hospital and you see child, little baby, you know, little baby Jang, not Jang, but you know, I'm just saying little baby Last Smith. And you're like, poor little child that don't have a name. Well, these people waited 8 days. But, okay. If you don't name the name ahead of time, they still do that, don't they? Yeah. So, you know, you're thinking, well, you know, but people's forced to give them the name. You know, my son's got 4 names. You know, we couldn't make them, you know, we figured, you know. And also, anyway, 8 days later, they circumcised and named them. It's very, very important because that is their hope. You had to be in that covenant, circumcision covenant, to be in a hope program we're at on this earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth.
Why do they still say that?
Well, they're ignorant. The question was, why do they say this prayer or say this in some of the other churches? And they're just ignorant of what God's doing today. That's as easy as I can say it. You know, if you know me, I'm not going to water down nothing. You know, God says you don't do things repetitiously, prayers. And you got them repetitiously saying prayers. But we don't do that here, do we? But anyway, we think about that. We think about that times past. I went through that very, very fast because you guys know a lot of this already. Now, when we had that heart folded over, now, what's the book? Now, let me back up. Let me slow down for a second. In times past, we know the books deals with what? Genesis through Malachi. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Okay? We know that to be true. If you're a Bible student, not a Bible scholar, but a Bible student, you're going to believe what God says, where He says it, to whom He says it to, and we know that those books had to do with times past, what God was doing. We also know what people does today. They'll tell you, go to the cross to get saved, but you have to go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to live it. Okay? And if you know your Bible, they couldn't do it. So why on this earth do you think that you could do it? You can't. That's why through Romans, through Philemon, you find out that I can't do it. The things I want to do, I find myself not doing. You know, but when you're in Christ and you let Christ do it, it makes a world of difference how you do things in this world. We're still living in the nasty now. We know that. We're still dying, much as some of us don't want to, but we are. You know, but our hope is somewhere else. Their hope is on this earth. So the book of Acts is a transitional book, okay, that takes you from that program, that kingdom program, you with me, to a different program. And it's a transitional book that takes you from a kingdom prophecy program and translates you into a mystery program, what God is doing today. And if you watch the flow and you read the book of Acts, I can almost assure you, and you probably already know this, that 99% of that book is written to who? Israel. And explaining to Israel what is going on, why this transition is happening. 90% of your churches will base their doctrine out of the book of Acts. And it's easy to do. You know what I'm talking about. You can pick and choose anything in the book of Acts. This is my doctrine. This is what I'm standing on. You know, forget everything else. This is what it's saying. But they don't... Let me show you something. Go to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Get Acts chapter 1 and Acts 28.
What was that, Acts 28?
Yes, sir. Acts chapter 1 and Acts 28. Acts chapter 1. In Acts 28. Acts chapter 1, verse 6. Six verses into Acts chapter 1, what does it say? When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to who? Israel. That's... Was that a mystery?
No, no.
What kingdom was they talking about since Abraham?
Kingdom of
Israel. Okay, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That's their hope. So why some people says, oh, that's a mystery. That's part of the mystery program. No, it's not. It's scriptural. And they're asking. You know why? They just seen their kings crucified. And he promised them, like what? That they're going to sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes on this earth. Wouldn't you ask, Lord, when will you again restore this kingdom to who?
Israel.
But look at Acts 28, verse 28. Be it known, therefore, unto you, that the salvation of God is, and it's very, very important that you circle that is, because people will say it's was, and it's just started right there. And there's some people out there that start, says Acts, you know, they take a position that Acts 2, the church started. We seen last week that there was a church in the wilderness, didn't we? And we talked about a church in the wilderness that started with Moses, and that was a church that continued all through that program. And they was added to. There's people says Acts chapter 2 is where the body of Christ starts. There's people says there's a mid-Acts position that starts in Acts 9 through 13. That's where we're at. And then there's people that says the church started, the body of Christ started in Acts chapter 28. And it's very, very important that you see that is, because that tells me it's already been sent out. It's not something started. Is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will what? You got something starts over here at the beginning, and it ends with something different. Is that the same?
Nope.
You with me?
Yep.
You got something that started the book of Acts that said, hey, when will you again restore the kingdom to Israel? And you got something at the end of Acts saying, hey, this salvation is sent to the Gentiles. It's already started. It's already happening. So that's why the book of Acts is a transitional book. Many of you already know, you got to be very, very careful how you pick and choose. Now, I mentioned that before. Okay? Leave the book of Acts where it belongs. There's three very, very important books in your Bible that will help us understand what God's doing. One is the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew is a transitional book about a kingdom. And it tells them what they're doing. The book of Acts is a transitional book that takes you from law to grace. And the book of Hebrews is a transitional book that takes you from grace back under that law system. Very, very important to understand what is going on there. So when you get the book of Acts, you've got to understand it is a transitional book. But study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing word of truth. You know how to understand some things. So that leaves, after the book of Acts, that leaves what? Romans through Philemon. You have 13 books there. 13 epistles. And guess where their focus is at? Heavens. See, if you're looking at your diagram there, you notice that mine's in red. Okay? And you see the focus is in the heavens. It's an unprophesied heavenly hope. Go to Ephesians chapter 3. Get Romans 16:25. Ephesians chapter 3. Romans 16:25. Now this is elementary for some. But some that are listening to the first time, they may think, wow, I've never seen this before. You know, this is meat, if you will. You know, we need meat sometimes to survive. Some of you won't eat meat, but some of us will. But Romans 16:25. Romans 16:25 says, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest by the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations, not just one nation, Israel, all nations for what? The obedience of faith. You see that? According to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. I like to ask people every once in a while, what does your church preach about Jesus Christ? Ask them that. See what they say. Do they preach according to the revelation of the mystery?
No.
Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 9. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 9. Now to make all men see, how many? To see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world had been hid in God. And Bible verses right there got a period. And they leave out this. Who created all things by Jesus Christ. That's big. Might not be big to you, but it's big. Verse 5. Ephesians 3:5, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This is serious stuff. Because now you're looking at, in Romans through Philemon, you're looking at something that was hid in God. not hid in His Word. Some people say that, and they did this during era, because I believe God hid this in Himself. Exactly. If He hid it in His Word, who it could have been found, couldn't it? You think about this very, very soon. It could have been found, and Satan had picked it up in a heartbeat. Because it just tells you in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7, if it had been known that the princes of this world would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Man, you show that verse to some people, and they're like, wow. I remember showing that to my sister one time. She's like, wow. You know, because it's serious. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Now, okay. Colossians chapter 1. Philippians, Colossians. Colossians is a book of correction. They wasn't... Paul had to write the book of Colossians to them because he corrected their thinking. They had the mind of Christ. They understand who they was, but they wasn't thinking right. So he writes that and corrects it. So if you're not thinking right today, you want some correction, Colossians is a good book to go to. If you want some reproof in your thinking, okay, you want to go to Philippians. Colossians chapter 1, verse 26. Even the mystery, well, let's back up 25. Whereof I am I'm made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. This is a big statement. Because Paul, in the dispensation of grace of God, he fulfills the word of God, and there's no more to be looking for, there's no more to be written. Verse 26, even the mystery which had been hid from ages and from generation, but now is made manifested to His saints. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. This is all about what God is doing through Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, not only Gentiles, but the body of Christ. You know, if Israel's got 12 apostles that they look for and follow, then God's got an apostle for the body of Christ. Amen? Look at Galatians chapter 1, verse 11. But I certify you, brethren. Now, what do you think that means? Many of us hold professional certifications, don't we? You got to be certified to sell insurance, don't you? You got to be certified to drive, don't you?
Maybe.
I'm pointing to a truck driver back there. You got to be certified, don't you? Yeah. You got to be certified for nursing. You know, you got to be certified for housekeeping, housewives, right? You should be. We recognize you. Don't worry about it. But look, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. Now, who and why would he say that? I mean, why would he say that? Not after man. Very good answer. Very good. Because what was going on in the Galatians' mind, once again, Galatians is a book of correction. Their behavior. Paul is correcting their behavior because they say, hey, the Judaizers came in there and said, it's okay. It's okay that you trust Christ died for you. But you've got to be circumcised. You've got to be baptized. You've got to join this church. You've got to do this. See what they're doing? They're adding to the cross and it's making it what? None effect. Very, very important. And Paul's like, I marvel how soon you are removed from the one that brought you into the gospel, which is not another gospel. See what I'm talking about? And it's so easy. We can get tricked, and we have been tricked in the past. But you trust Christ died for your sins and bury him, rose him, just because, you know, Jane or Jamie or whatever, you know, she says, yeah, but you got to do this. And you love Aunt Jane so much, you just fall in for that. And you're like, whoa, what did you just do? You know, if they do it, it's ignorance. But I'm saying, well, keep reading. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by what? That's big, people. That is big. That means to tell me, that tells me, it should tell you too, that when Paul got struck down on the road to Damascus, I believe God did not give him all the revelations at one time. I don't think you can't take it. Me and you can't take it. That's why he progressed. That's why we talk about progressive revelation. He progressively told Paul, and Paul started understanding what he was doing. And by the time he writes his last penmanship, he's like, it is this way. It's not that way. And he can boldly stand on it, the fact that God's showing me. He tells you in Corinthians 12, I will come to dreams and visions, or visions and revelations. That tells me it wasn't completed yet. That's why they're still speaking in tongues in Corinthians. And he's still dealing with them. With me? Progressively. And that's why if you understand who you are and you go through the pattern how God laid it out through Romans, through Philemon, you see the transition, what God's doing, until he makes you a perfect man. And you'll be able to stand and make some strong decisions. Are we there yet? Many of us know. Is this a church yet? No. But we come together and edify one another and grow together. That's the beauty of a local church. See, I know what it means to stay home and think you can teach your kids and watch internet stuff. I know that. And I know something? I wasn't disciplined enough. I need you guys. I need this church. You're our family, aren't you? My wife and I have, we've got a son-in-law now from Ohio. Bless his heart. But you know, other than that, you're our family. And it swells sometimes, don't it? And it goes away some, just like a regular family. But look, this is about the uncircumcised gospel, okay? The uncircumcised gospel. If you look at Acts chapter 15, before we start saying saved by grace, what the hope and what the promises are in this present and our future, I want you to look at Acts chapter 15 for a second. Acts chapter 15. Uncircumcised gospel. If times past was dealing with a circumcised gospel, and ages has come is going to do the gospel of the circumcision, what do you think today is about? The gospel of the uncircumcision. Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15. Verse 24. Verse 23 says, and they wrote letters by them after this manner, the apostles and elders and brethren send greetings unto the brethren which are the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia, forasmuch as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your souls, saying ye must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. See this? Antioch. What do you know about Antioch?
That's where the church started.
That's where they first called church. That's the base, that's the home base of this administration, if you will. Paul's administration, of what to get sent out. You either got your Bibles from Antioch or you got them from Alexandria. What do you know about Alexandria? That's where the world's wisdom was, wasn't it? Didn't that library burn? Somebody came in and burned it down. But anyway, go to Romans chapter 3. You see what Paul says? They're subverting their souls. That's serious. And he gave no such commandment to them to do that. See how easy it is to come in? How trickery Satan will do? I believe he's behind it. You may not think, but he is. He may be sitting quietly like God's sitting quietly. If God's in a mystery program, I believe Satan's in a mystery program. So guess what? That leads you to think any way you want to think. You yield your members this way, or you yield your members that way. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, verse 30. Verse 29 says, Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yea, yes, of the Gentiles also, seeing is one God, which shall justify the circumcision by faith, and the uncircumcision what? Through faith. Romans chapter 4, verse 12. Romans chapter 4, verse 12. And the father of circumcision to them, you're talking about Abraham there in chapter 4, right? And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of the faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. You see how important it is? When I was studying this out and look at that, how can you call Abraham Father Abraham? In circumcision or uncircumcision?
Uncircumcision.
That's why you can call him. See what it just said? Okay. Are you under a circumcision gospel today, or are you under an uncircumcision gospel? That's why Abraham has a dual fathership. He's father to the circumcision, and he's father to the what? Uncircumcision. That's why you can say Father Abraham. I have faith like Abraham. See? And stand on it boldly and not worry about the circumcision gospel. Let's look a couple more verses. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Verse 2. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." That's serious, ain't it? And he says, verse 2, "Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you" what? "Nothing." Everything. Some probably say that. "Profit you nothing." There's a gospel out there. Circumcision gospel is very, very important. Go to chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. The circumcision, yeah. Law, all that circumcision gospel. It's bondage. We're free from that stuff, amen? The only people put us under bondage, we put ourselves under bondage. Religious bondage. Chapter 2, verse 7. "But contrariwise, when they saw the gospel of the uncircumcision, which was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter." Now, how many gospels is that?
Two.
Now, if you, other versions don't say that. And it keeps saying verse 8, and it's in parentheses, "For he that worth effectively in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me towards the Gentiles." Some people will just turn that around and say, the same worth in Peter is doing the same thing that's working in me, the gospel. That's not what that says.
Verse 9.
Amen. Verse 9, and when James, Cephas, who's Cephas? Okay. And John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, that they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go to the heathen, and they to what? The uncircumcised. What do they call the uncircumcised?
Gentiles.
Heathen, okay. Right? And they are Gentiles. But they also uncircumcised. So if you wasn't in that kingdom program, in that circumcised program, guess what you was? And if you wasn't part of that little flock, which a lot of them wasn't, and they was Israelites, well, guess what they was?
Heathen.
That's why they become apostate Israel. They're all heathens. That's why Paul went to the synagogues. He went to show them who Christ was, did he convert some? Absolutely he did. Ephesians chapter 2. On your way, go to Galatians chapter 11. Galatians chapter 5, verse 11. On your way to Ephesians chapter 2. You got to see this. You got to see this along with what you just read in Galatians chapter 2, verse 7. You should have a rabbit trail from Galatians chapter 2 over to Galatians chapter 5, because this is very, very important if you believe your Bible. Chapter 5, verse 11. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then as the offense of the cross cease. He didn't preach a circumcision gospel. He preached an uncircumcised gospel. That's why he's getting prosecuted. He's saying, if I preach the circumcision gospel, why are you persecuting me? Man, these verses mean something. And Paul, that's why Paul, Galatians is a book of what? Correction. And their behavior was not lining up. So Paul is correcting their behavior. Saying, hey, get right.
They're trying to follow Peter. He's saying, don't.
That's it. They didn't read Galatians chapter 2, did they? Think about it. They didn't take it serious. But Galatians chapter 5, they're still in that. And Paul says, okay. You know, I'm moving on. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. Wherefore, remember that ye been in times past, Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. Very, very, very important to understand that there's an uncircumcision gospel out there. And you find it through Romans, through Philemon. Next week we'll pick up what this mystery program is, what you have already up front in the heavenly positions, and we'll look at times, ages to come. Father, we thank you for the day. We thank you for things you've given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.